today on Real Radio.
Everyone wants to attack the Bible, but they've got nothing to say about it. They don't like it, maybe, because they don't, you know, they get upset. When you read the Bible, you find out, are you kidding me? You mean I can't drink myself into oblivion? The Bible says God's got a better life for you.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Arriving, the Second Coming of the Son of God, Part 1, continues a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thank you for joining us today. Arriving is the theme as we close out the book of Isaiah. Now, by arriving, we mean a sequence of events that Bible prophecy speaks about, including the physical return of Jesus Christ here to the earth. In Isaiah chapter 62, we learned that God gave us prophecy not to scare us, but to prepare us. We really need to have an understanding of what the Bible says about the end times in order to discern what the leaders of our day are telling us. But regardless of what we may have been told, God always comes from a place of truth and unconditional love. Everything He does is for our benefit in the end. So today in Isaiah chapter 63, Pastor Jack tells us that we are living in a time of God's grace. God has dealt with us patiently, that's the truth. But the time of God holding back His judgment will run out someday, and the great tribulation period will begin. And now in his lesson called Arriving, the Second Coming of the Son of God, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Chapter 63 tonight, the first six verses, Isaiah. And we're looking at that title, that themed title, really, called Arriving. Arriving. We're not only arriving the conclusion of the book, but what you're going to hear about is what the Bible says regarding the arrival of Christ in the second coming. Listen, when stuff goes down in the world, when bizarre things happen, as I've told you before, CNN calls churches, CNN calls pastors, pastors that speak about prophetic things. News will get a hold of us. They'll ask questions. Is this the end of the world? Is this Armageddon? They immediately go from we don't like the Bible, we don't believe in it, we don't care about Jesus, to something happens in the world, and immediately they're calling to find out if it's the end of the world. And it's kind of funny. The Bible's very clear that the end of the world is not near. Okay, can you hear that? The end of the world is not near. Now Jesus could come back for us tonight. That's not the end of the world. The Bible's very clear about that. There's a lot of time left, even if Jesus did come back tonight. But read the fine print. The time that's left ain't good. It's going to get real nasty, says the Bible, before it gets awesome. And Isaiah chapter 63 begins with the start of the awesomeness. And it's a time, and remember this, church, it's a time written about by the prophet Isaiah that is 700, so let me do the math, almost 3,000 years ago, Isaiah wrote these prophecies. And as we come to the conclusion of the book very shortly, you know that he's known as the evangelical prophet because he's the one that you learn about Christmas from. Isaiah, what's with Jesus in the nativity scene? Isaiah, what about him dying on the cross? Where do we get that from? Not Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were the eyewitnesses of what Isaiah had talked about 743 years before those dudes even got on the scene. This is why the Bible, listen, this is why the everyone wants to attack the Bible, but they've got nothing to say about it. They don't like it, maybe, because they don't, you know, they get upset. When you read the Bible, you find out, are you kidding me? You mean I can't cheat on my wife? I don't like the Bible. Listen, the Bible tells you don't cheat on your wife because the Bible wants you to live. What? You mean I can't drink myself into oblivion? The Bible says God's got a better life for you. So it's not a bunch of thou shalt not. No, it's a bunch of we get to. It just matters how you approach this book. And God wants you to live. He wants you to have life. And so tonight we're going to be learning about some things. For some, you may already know these things, but for many, perhaps, it's new to you. But remember who we're talking about here, the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible, who's given 66 books called the Bible, 40 different authors, spanning nearly 2,000-year time frame of authorship by various men from multiple continents, some of them never coming in contact with each other, obviously. And from Genesis to Revelation, there is a linguistic, archaeological, there is a scientific even connection that does not, listen, can you imagine getting 40 different authors separated by nearly 2,000-year time to all agree on the same sworn testimony, and it all agrees, and it, with time preceding, is confirmed even more and more. Remarkable. The more time you give to the Bible, the more you see that the archaeologist will dig up with his spade exactly what the Bible had talked about, of a community, of a person, of a place. And the Bible says in Isaiah 46, verse 9, remember the former things of old, I'm God. In other words, God is saying, look back, judge me. Look back and see if what I didn't know what I was talking about when I had my prophets write this stuff down. For I'm God, there is no other. I'm God, there's none like me. Why, God? Why are you so unique, God of the Bible? Verse 10, declaring the end from the beginning. That's called prophecy. He tells the future in advance. And from ancient time, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. You can almost see God boasting a little bit about that. It's awesome. So arriving, we're going to be looking at this tonight. And so as we look in our study together, look at verse 1, Isaiah chapter 63. It's interesting. This whole open is very interesting. It says here in verse 1, who is this who comes from Edom? We'll talk about this in a moment. Show you this in a moment. With dyed garments from Bozra. This one who is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. Pause right there. Note takers, jot it down. The first thing that we see right now, and listen carefully, that regarding the second coming of Jesus Christ, Isaiah 63, mark it down in your notes, you're going to see tonight that this is the prophet being shown by God the second coming of Christ. So he's even looking over your head into the future. This is not about the first coming that he talked about in earlier chapters when Jesus came to Bethlehem, born of a baby, born as a human, that God would be born in the flesh in Bethlehem. This is not that first coming. This is the second coming. Notice how he comes in the first coming. He comes and identifies with you and I in our humanity. The Bible says that you are created in the image of God. That's why you have God thoughts. Every one of us. You say, I'm an atheist. No, you're not. You think you are. Look, I'm going to be very blunt but honest with you. You have the luxury right now to be an atheist because you're not sick. Look, maybe you're an atheist here tonight. If in the next 3 minutes we have an 8.5 earthquake underneath this building, you're going to say something like, oh God. You're going to say something like, somebody pray. You're going to get humble real quick. Like, I've been a pastor for 30 years. I've watched people, stalwart, hardcore atheists, and they stand their ground because they're healthy and strong and everything's going good. They got money in the bank, and then life hits them right upside the face. It's like Mike Tyson said, everybody's got a plan until they get hit in the face. Isn't that a great line? Everybody's got a plan until you get hit in the face. And life will hit you in the face someday. And you're going to call out to God. And listen, he's listening and he'll be there. But you're going to be shocked to find out that what we're learning about here right now, jot it down in your notes. The second coming of Jesus Christ means that the dispensation of grace ends. You ever think about that? So what do you mean? Before we look at the fulfillment of verse 1, right now you and I are sitting here in what is known as the dispensation of grace. It means that since Jesus Christ went to the cross 2,000 years ago, God has backed off on personal and national judgments. That's what this means. In other words, in the Old Testament period leading up to the advent of Christ, God dealt with judgments. You know that's called the Old Testament. God dealt with remarkable supernatural judgments. He withheld water or rain from places that, including Israel, that didn't obey him. God was very, very present. And you read your Old Testament, and you go, I don't like that. It's scary. Why do you say that? Because he's very much rewarding people and nations based upon their conduct. You hear me? And look, none of us like that. Look, we just honored a few police officers a moment ago, and we will always do that. You have no problem with police officers if you're going under 55. None of us have a problem with them. In fact, listen, have you noticed that if you're going down the road and you're just daydreaming or you're just driving, you're doing everything right. And have you noticed when you see a CHP officer or you see a police officer, when you just see the car, what's the first thing you do? What? I heard duck. I heard slow down. Officer, seize these people. Duck. No, you slow down, or at least, even though you're totally cool, you look at your speedometer. Why? What happened? The law showed up. That's what the Old Testament is. The law shows up. The law's there. The Ten Commandments are the Ten Commandments to show you and I how bad we are. That's what they're for. It's like the sign on the street. Don't enter this road. It's a rule. It's a law. You break it at the expense of your own peril. It's very normal. We just don't like it. We're rebellious people in hearts. Don't tell me what to do. You say, Pastor, that's not nice. Listen, how many of you have kids? Raise your hand. You have kids. Listen, all you have to do to your two-year-old is say, now, listen, little Mr. America here, don't you cross this line. Daddy's over here. You stay right there. What's he going to do? You have not barely got that word out of your mouth, and he doesn't understand anything, but he understands that. Have you noticed that? And he just goes like this. And he kind of like, 2 years old! Diapers on, looks you in the face, and basically says, are you man enough to take me on? I'm not going to obey this. It's a fact. It's in our nature. God told Adam and Eve, everything's yours. You're naked. For one thing, you're naked. How awesome is that? Adam and Eve, you're naked. What are you so quiet for? It's the Bible. God made Adam and Eve, and he said, you know, look, have a great time. Naked, running around daytime in a jungle. How awesome is this? No, seriously, it's amazing. It's paradise. And then God says, you guys can have a great time. Just stay away from that tree over there. And Eve goes, wait, what, this one? She couldn't handle it. God says, don't do this. Listen, the dispensation of grace has been the time of what is also affectionately referred to as the church age, meaning that since the cross, God deals with people and nations patiently. He's putting up with them. He's long-suffering, and he contends, or that he waits. You live your life, and you run it into the ground. You run people over in the process, and you've all thought this. Why do bad people get away with stuff? One answer. I remember I was speaking at a maximum security prison. And that's a scary place for a lot of reasons. When I was speaking at this prison, I don't know why. It never happened to me before. I've spoken at prisons before. But this was a weird day. They made me take all my clothes off and put on a prison outfit. Now, let me tell you something before you go in there. The guards have your wallet. I'm wearing an orange suit. And I walk in there, and I got a microphone. And I'm on a platform, and I look just like them. And it dawned on me in that moment. Little bird, little sparrow flew down and landed, took up and flew right over that prison wall and flew away. And it dawned on me, when I'm done, I get to leave just like that bird. And I'm looking at these guys who are terrifying. And it dawned on me, you know what? And I told them, gentlemen, you know what the difference is between you and I? One thing. I haven't been cut. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Hey, look, I may not have murdered anybody, but I would have liked to have strangled somebody from time to time in life. You know what I'm saying? Is anybody, look, Jesus said, if you look at somebody and you hate them, Jesus said, before God, you're guilty of murder. What does that mean? Oh, come on, how can I be judged for a thought? Because listen, isn't it weird? Listen to that. Listen to God's way of dealing with people. It's so weird, but it's, as C.S. Lewis says, it's so queer that it has to be God. And it's this. Only in Christianity do you hear this. Because God is so real and he wants to know you and be known by you, isn't it interesting that the message we preach to people is a message that is, if you've sinned and if you've done all these horrible things, come to Jesus Christ in repentance. In other words, tell him, I'm so sorry for what I did, and he will forgive you and give you eternal life. Number one, that's based on the cross. Jesus died for you. You can't die for you. He rose again from the dead. You never will without Jesus. He did it. Okay, he did it all. So watch this. How in the world can that message be true? Well, first of all, it's based on the cross. And so, Pastor, are you saying that if I murder a man and God, and I get busted by God and I repent, I agree with God that that was wrong, and I cry out to him for mercy and forgiveness, he'll forgive me? Yes. See, that's just ridiculous. Where's the justice in that? Jesus on the cross. That's the justice. Here's the deal. Read the fine print of Christianity. We don't focus so much on what you've done on the outward side. I'm not interested in who you are now. I'm interested in who you can become. Like this. Christianity is more concerned about what you think. God is more concerned about what you think. Because that's where it starts. You just don't do what you do without thinking about it first. It's premeditated. We're going to try to determine if this is premeditated murder. Whatever. Getting out of bed's premeditated. Think about it. So here's the deal. God says, I will forgive anything that you've ever done if you repent of that. But the truth is, the moment that true conversion takes place, you wake up out of religion and run away from it and realize, oh my goodness, I almost said holy cow. That probably wouldn't be good for the Bible. The holy cow's not going to do anything for you. Just ask the children of Israel in Egypt. It didn't work. Not holy cow, holy God. Holy God forgives sin. When that happens, listen, it affects your heart. So your thought life is way more different. Our thought life, listen, we can look angelic, but our thought life can be so sick. And God says, I see the sickness in your head, in your heart. God, that's what God's concerned about. A lot of people want to talk about motive. God knows the motive. When we give a gift, God knows the motive. So the dispensation of grace is a time that is now almost 2,000 years spent. We're near the end of it. What does this mean? It means that God is going to roll up shop, as it were, regarding his long suffering. It's called the Great Tribulation Period. When that time begins, the Bible tells us, God will revert back to a time where he deals with individuals and nations based upon their actions. And listen to what's going on. Who is this who comes from Edom? This is Jesus Christ in the second coming, coming out of, watch everybody, Edom, with dyed garments. By the way, the word in Hebrew is, and it's redundant in here, you'll see it in a moment, red, splattered. Dye has been splattered on his robe, his clothing. He's the one who is glorious in his apparel, meaning that where it's amazing, where it's not splattered in blood. You say, you're talking about Jesus? Blood splat? Just wait. His robe is splattered in blood, but where it's not, it is so brilliant white. What a contrast. Think of it. Glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. So the question is, notice this. There's a question here in verse 1. Who is he? Who is this one? Well, we know from the original scriptures here that whoever it is, he's divine. He's transcendent, meaning he's coming out of heaven toward earth, as you'll see in a moment. And he's one who's physical. He has become physical in the manifestation. So the first thing regarding this time of dispensation coming to an end, that's one of the great things about the time in which you and I live, that grace, it's not that grace is running out. The opportunity to receive the grace of God is running out in this age. There will be grace in the tribulation period. It's different than right now. Right now, you do something wrong and you're not going to get pulled over by God. You do something wrong, you're not going to go to jail now by God. You should, but you don't. Why? This age of grace. God has given time for all, as Paul the Apostle said, all. He's given opportunity for all to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But that day is going to close someday. But I want to show you something. First slide we want to see tonight is the ancient world. This happens to be out of the time of the Assyrian Empire down here. And so let's look at this. By the way, when the Bible tells us, and I want you to remember this map tonight. When the second coming takes place, remember, we're not talking about the rapture. We're talking about the second coming. Two completely what's called eschatological differences. Watch this, though. Second coming. The Bible tells us that he's going to come to the area of Edom. See this? Moab. From this, can you see that little pointer? I'll do it over here in a second. He's going to come from this direction. The Bible will tell us. You'll see it in a moment. Over this area to where? Jerusalem. In the second coming. Okay? By the way, which is a lot of fun. Because Jerusalem has to be intact before Christ can return to it. There's people who want to blow it up. It's not going to happen. There's people who want to remove it from the earth. It's not going to happen. So over here, you guys, Moab and Edom. And here's Jerusalem. He's going to come from this direction. I haven't shown you this yet. Just remember, he's going to come. This is the east. He's going to come toward the west. Okay? Just remember that in our study. Okay, Amos chapter 1, verse 12. I'm going to give you some verses that are in concert with or correlate with the second coming and this location I just showed you a moment ago. Amos 1, verse 12 says, the ancient prophet, but I will send a fire upon Teman, which is another word for the clans or tribes of Edom, which shall devour the palaces of what? Bozra. Bozra, keep that in mind. Bozra is between the nation today of Kuwait, biblically, and Israel. Isaiah 34, verse 6. Isaiah 34, verse 6. The sword of the Lord is filled with blood. Does this blow your mind about Jesus, meek and mild? Just remember this. Someday this is going to be significant.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. Here on Real Radio, in a message called Arriving, the Second Coming of the Son of God, Part 1. Thanks for joining us today. You know, our prayer is that you run to the Lord for help while there is still time. Jesus Christ is the only one who can save you. Arriving, the Second Coming of the Son of God, Part 1, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before the day he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, just a quick reminder to get to our website and click on the Media tab for Real Life Talk, Real Life TV, more Real Radio broadcasts, news updates, and a whole lot more. It's all right there under the tab marked Media at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Or you can find us on the Real Life app. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.